Someday I'm going to be walking down the streets minding my own business. And bam! I'm going to be shot by some pig who's going to swear that it was a mistake. I accept that as a part of my destiny. Si es mi destino morir en la calle como un perro.
Ladies and gentlemen, now the moment you've all been waiting for.
Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Would you give me a hand with the bags?
Certainly. You take the blonde and I'll take the one in the tithing.
You're hit. You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
I command you, as King of the Britons, to stand aside.
I move for no man.
What do you know? It's Cinema Crespity So, episode 105 starts now. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. Thanks for downloading. We appreciate it. If this is your first time downloading, hey, welcome to the festivities. We got a lot in store for you. Hope you don't get lost along the way. Just, we'll hold your hand. Don't worry about it. It's all good. Or you can go back and download episode 1 and start from the beginning. Why you want to do that, I have no idea, but hey, it's there. Hanging out with me, this guy over here, Drewster Cogburn.
What up, bro? What? How goes it?
It's going. Drinking some beer. Watching some movies. Actually, The Simpsons are on right now.
Ella Simpsons.
The Simpsons. The Sunsphere episode.
L. Simpsons.
It's pretty awesome. Pretty yeah. Good stuff. Classic, if you ask me. Classic Simpsons. Anyway, welcome to the show. We got a lot to do, a lot to talk about. We got some movie news. Got a couple of mini movie reviews from listeners, as well as a couple of questions. Looking forward to that. Brand new Billy D is Death at the Movies.
Sweet.
Billy D gave us our first questions for the last bonus episode we did. Dr. Drew's Two Cents, the Doctor is in. Check out that episode. We just released it a few days ago. Drew answered your questions.
All of them.
Every single one of them. Unabashedly.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so good times.
Yeah, we're fun.
Check that one out, people. We got, what else we got? I'm looking at my list here because we got to talk about the new movies that come out in theaters this weekend. There's a bunch of new movies coming out on that DVD. Guys, you know what just came out on DVD? The Guest.
You should watch it.
I know we talked about that last week, but I'm going to talk about it every chance we get. Find a reason to talk about it later this episode, I am sure. It's such a good movie.
It is. It's fantastic. I laughed a lot more the second time around.
Yeah.
Just at the absurdity of it all.
Yeah, because now you're ready for it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's so...
It's hilarious.
The things it sets up, it's so over the top.
Yeah, it really is.
So apparently that guy is on a Downton Abbey.
If you say so.
IMDb says so.
The IMDb.
The internet movie database, which is movie Wikipedia, pretty much.
For all intents and purposes.
But he's pretty verifiable. Dan Stevens is on that show. He's an English fella.
Uh-huh. He's also Lancelot in the new, that stupid Night at the Museum crap fest.
See, you pointed that out when we saw the trailer. And
I saw it. It's those crystal blue eyes, Chris. They're unmistakable.
You're pretty fixated on his eyes there.
It's got, dude, they're so blue.
He's got Newman-ish eyes.
They're
for sure.
So blue.
Almost Daniel Craigian.
Yeah.
You know.
They're so blue.
But like with the long hair, I don't know. I mix up faces pretty easily, too.
I'm really good with faces.
Are you really good at faces?
Yeah, I'm really good with faces.
There's definitely, that's definitely like a kind of a skill or, you know, people are just, some people are better at it than others.
No.
I'm not very good at faces. Mm-hmm. So with him with long hair, he could have walked right by me.
He'd have been like, who the fuck was that?
Who the fuck is this guy? I think he's Lancelot. Oh, yeah, it's the guest.
He's got long hair and a beard now.
Yeah, well, for that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder what he's doing now. Got my space pen. I keep dropping the space pen is so slick.
Is it zero G?
It's
if you drop it, will it just kind of sit there?
No, it won't. But it'll write upside down because the ink cartridge is pressurized.
Okay.
On the inside.
Gotcha.
I'm almost afraid if I drop it the wrong way, it'll explode. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That could be bad. But they're mass selling these things, so I think they figured out a way to
One would hope so.
I'm just going to set the pen down for now until I actually need it. Which might be now, because you know what, Drew?
Yes,
before we do, you do know what? You do know that before we do the movie reviews and before we do the box office recap, what do we got to do?
We do the Netflix is the pick of the week.
For the entertainment that you see, it's time for the Netflix pick of the week. The Netflix instant pick of the week. 2015. That's the new 2015 remix there.
Just maybe you should remix it, Chris, for that, 2015.
That was it. That was the whole remix right there.
Work 2015,
it's
that's
not,
it.
It's not 2015. Oh, I have to add a Wicca Wicca too.
You should add a Wicca Wicca. Anyway,
it was already going to be a lot of work just to pull the thing out of there. Oh, you already used the Crespedista Randomizer 9000 pre-theme song. I don't know if that's a... This pick might not be guaranteed. Here we go.
I don't give a shit what you think.
What's going on?
Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
Laws of Cinema Physics.
Is ESPN 30 for 30.
Oh.
June 17th, 1994.
This one is a lot of fun. Every now and then, the randomizer spits out a non-movie per se.
Those ESPN 30 for 30s are good, though. They're just little documentaries.
There's little 30-minute documentaries, 30-minute movies. And this one is particularly interesting. June 17, 1994 is a very interesting day. I remember laying on the couch at night, trying to stay awake watching the Knicks game, the Knicks playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
And then they made the game like small in the corner, and then on the other part of the screen they popped in breaking news, car chase in LA, and it was the OJ chase.
Yes.
June 17th, a lot of things happened in the sports world, including the OJ freeway chase, a low speed hours pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This documentary, it starts at the beginning of the day, and it's all just news footage from that day of all the different things that happened. So there's no like, you know, people sit in front of like a picture and talking to the camera. There's no voiceover narration, anything like that. It's all done through actual footage. The only other movie I can think of that was done like that is that movie Senna. I think that was a past pick of the week. Have you seen that
one?
Yeah,
I've seen it.
That's all, like, just
footage.
Real footage. Real home video footage, news footage from the time period. Told the story from front to back, from throat to balls. Right? Is that how?
No.
From head to toe.
Yes.
That covers more ground.
Yes, it does. And from throat to balls, it's really not a lot. It's only like maybe what?
Yeah,
like
but
maybe half your body.
Yeah, but nothing happens from midnight to like 6, 7 a.m. The day really starts around 8 or 9. So you're already cutting off like almost a third of the day.
It all
there,
depends
right?
on what you're talking about. Dude, my day starts at 5:30.
I'm talking
so
about
fuck you.
I'm talking about June 17, 1994 is what I'm talking about. That day.
Okay.
In the sports world. And how it was a crazy day.
It was?
It was a crazy day. And it's really well made. It's really good stuff. So check it out. There you go. Netflix is the pick of the week. Week is June 17, 1994. You can check that out and other past picks at chriscrespo.com. Let's do that box office recap over there. What do you
mean? Coming in at number 11 this week.
Number 11.
A movie that I have yet to see, unfortunately.
Oh, this guy, we gotta fix that.
Inherent Vice had a weekend gross of $2.9 million, total of $4.5 on a budget of unlisted.
Almost $3 million on 645 screens.
Yep.
Not bad. That's not bad, I gotta say, especially for a movie like this. It's 2.5 hours. They're selling it as a...
Pothead detective story.
Pothead detective story. Well, that's what it is. But they're also selling it as kind of more of a fun romp.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's kind of, you know,
yeah.
energetic and all this. It's actually quite a somber, melancholy film.
Kind of slow?
Definitely slow-paced, for sure. There are a lot of scenes, like, with two characters talking,
mm-hmm.
where obviously, from the book that it's based on, it's pages of dialogue... it's just two people talking, and then the camera is pushing very slowly. And the whole conversation plays out over the course of several minutes in one uninterrupted take. And that happens a lot.
Okay.
And that definitely, you can see why the movie has such a long runtime, because he lets the scenes, Pete Anderson lets the scenes take their time to unfold.
Build.
And they build, and the characters really get into some shit. And then even though there's humor and there's comedy, it's still like, definitely from start to finish, it's pretty, kind of a sad feel.
So maybe a dark comedy?
kind of a dark comedy, yeah, but about a potted, not just a potted detective, this guy, this Doc
Burnout.
He's a total burnout, and it's because he will consume anything that he comes across. He's that kind of guy. Mm. And sometimes he consumes things he doesn't mean to.
I used to be that kind of guy.
You used to be that kind of guy. You know what that's like.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine if you continued being that guy into your late 30s or whatever.
I know.
That could be an issue.
That lasted my 20s. Oof. That was about it.
That's long enough, I guess. That's long enough. So, it's good. It's a very good movie. It's definitely, at this point, it's like, P.T. Anderson fans, I think, will really like it. I can see people that are seeing it just based on the commercials and the trailers. Oh, that looks like interesting fun. And then they find out it's not, you know, not even the Big Lebowski in terms of jovialness.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Big Lebowski's pretty funny.
Big Lebowski's quite funny. But it is similar to that in terms of it being a private eye story.
Uh-huh.
You know, like a private detective.
And a burnout story.
But it's also, but he's also kind of a burnout. But it's like a different... Big Lebowski was like a dark comedy 90s Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And Inherent Vice is like 1970 fictionalized, like Southern California beach town, where everything's just a little weird.
Okay.
Just a little skewed. It's strange. It's interesting. I really liked it. A lot of great acting. Joaquin Phoenix is awesome. A lot of actors pop up in just a couple, handful of roles were quite good. Benicio del Toro.
No.
Eric Roberts.
Owen Wilson.
Catherine Waterston, daughter of Sam. Yeah, so. I would definitely recommend people checking it out, but I think
really, Sammy's daughter's in this?
Sammy's daughter?
Is Sammy's daughter hot?
She's hot.
Of course she is.
And she's naked.
Sammy's got good. Ooh, I get to see Sammy's daughter naked. I need to see this movie.
Yeah, you do got to see this movie. So I'll just cut it there. You can go to chriscrest.com and read the review. And because next week we'll talk about the movie more when you see it.
Yes.
For sure. So, but real quick, I guess we'll go ahead and see what they're saying on the
Rotten Tomatoes.
We got a 68% rating. That's 68% positive reviews out of 154. The average rating is still 7 out of 10.
Okay.
So the people that like it really like it. One of those type of deals. Interesting to note here, audience score, user review,
yeah,
59%.
Okay, so a little less.
Pretty lower. So people are, I think it's because people are being misled, I think is why.
Yeah.
I think it's what's going on there. Consensus, Inherent Vice may prove frustrating for viewers who demand absolute coherence, but it does justice to its acclaimed source material and should satisfy fans of director P.T. Anderson. That's true. It is kind of a confusing story. I've even read the novel, the Thomas Pynchon novel, read it a while ago. So I was like able to follow what's going on because I was like, oh yeah, this character, that character, I remember these people from the novel. But at the end of the day, if you asked me to give you like an A through Z plot description, I couldn't.
No.
I would get lost, though. And I think that's part of the point. It's not really so much about the being able to follow the plot as it is about interacting with these characters and the craziness, the weirdness, of, and the tone of the whole thing.
All right.
It's one of those things. So, all right, there we go. What's going on? What's next with the...
Number five this week on Broken made an additional $8.36 million, total of $101.6 on a budget of $65.
Not bad. My own Broken reviews at chriscrestable.com. Definitely check that out.
Coming in at number four this week, The Hobbit, Battle of the Five Armies made an additional... $9.4 million for a total of $236.5.
Good golly, but smile. We still got to go see that
eventually.
Video. $545 million international puts at $781 million worldwide. So it's on its way to a billion.
Yeah, so you spend approximately a billion to make four movies, and in return you get $4 billion.
Pretty much. For these movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Coming at number three this week, Into the Woods.
Made
an additional $9.75 million for a total of $105.2 million on a budget of $50 million.
Man, that's got to be, that's one hell of a popular musical.
That just means you're going to see, we're going to get probably more musical movies.
Get Into the Woods 2?
Into the Woods, no. Like, I'm talking probably like the Book of Mormon musical movie.
Oh, I'd be down for that.
You know, things of that nature.
They are working on, they've been working on it for a while, It's not like this is, oh shit, they're trying to jump on a bandwagon. But they've recently had some progress on a Wicked film adaptation. That's mega popular on Broadway, right?
Oh, yeah.
What else is there? Now, did Little Shop of Horrors start as a movie or as a play? As a musical.
I couldn't tell you where it started.
How did it start? I did see the musical.
No.
With Joey Fatone in the lead role on Broadway.
Joey Fat One.
It's actually really good. When it was over, I was like, hey. That guy got it. He did it.
With Joey Fallon.
It was good. Plant wins. Did you know that? Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
For the original story, the plant wins.
Yeah. I know.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I was like, holy shit.
Coming to number two this week.
That's crazy.
Selma.
Plant wins.
Had a weekend gross of $11.2 million. Total $13.48 on a budget of $20.
Selma, starring David Oyelowo as Dr. Martin Luther King.
Did a really good job.
He's quite good. That guy was good.
He really good.
He's always good,
though. It was the speeches, man. Just his, like, his oratory style. Like, I could... Yeah, I mean, he did it.
Yeah, he nailed... He definitely nailed the feel of MLK.
Yes.
Of the good doctor. But what about the movie around him? What did you think of Selma?
The first scene, well, no, I guess maybe the second scene.
Well, the opening.
The opening was fucking insane.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, it's like, by the way, if you didn't know, this is a really fucking serious movie.
Yeah, it's a fuck of a way to start a movie for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, after that, I kind of got the whole tone of the film. Mm-hmm. It was telling a true story, so, you know, it was just being true to life and, you know, the horrible events that unfolded, you know, at that time.
It puts you more in there instead of just, like, reading a...
reading a history book.
Instead of just reading a history book, it puts you more inside what it's like. And it's easy to draw parallels to, like, stuff we've seen very recently.
Recently, yeah, totally, 100%.
like, the whole... importance of inclusion of the media, getting the images out there so raise the white consciousness, as he put in that scene.
It's the truth, though.
Right? Same thing happened.
People to watch, there needs to be drama.
There needs to be that drama. So the movie's like, it gives you an insider perspective, sort of a reasoning for the for protesting. Protesting anything, really.
Well, not just where, but they, like they
the
also.
Basic principles of it.
But it was also, you know, like a how to protest properly thing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like they were checking out different places and, you know, they decided on Selma for specific reasons. And, you know, I mean, it was, I'm not saying that it was staged, mm-hmm. but it wasn't like...
They just randomly picked a place and it just popped up. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
A lot of thought went into the where it happened and
how it was going to go down.
There's that one scene where they're like, well, we're focusing on voting rights, black voting rights in the 50s.
Yeah.
How do we approach it? One guy was like, oh, well, there's the poll tax. Another guy was like, well, there's the vouchers. And, you know, they were all trying to figure out the best angle
to attack it from.
Which is very, it's definitely kind of a how to. We need to put together our own home video. How to protest properly. That's what you said.
Yes.
It's not just any schmuck can protest. Can go out there with the sign and, you know, try to get himself photographed by the AP. We're talking about protesting properly, getting the sandwich line going, you know, and being able to get, like, the proper permits, i.e. get the president to, like, declare shit and stuff like that, and federal judges, right? Yeah. That's what it takes. Mm-hmm. We can do that.
Yeah.
So we'll do a simple how-to... How to protest properly.
How to protest properly.
Sell it to the Occupy people and the Ferguson people and the I Can't Breathe people. Nobody really gets shit. You get it translated into Chinese.
And teach the Chinese how to protest.
Sell it to over there in Hong Kong. They got a lot of people protesting over there.
Yeah, they do. How to do it properly.
I'm just saying. I think $1 billion, $1 trillion idea possibly right
how
here.
How to protest it properly.
Yeah, there you go.
The HPP manual.
The HPPM by CC. So yeah, Selma was pretty much that. Also with, like, what it was like to be Dr. King and his wife, the relationship with the family, and how they're trying to tear him down.
Just a random black or white person who liked black people in the South.
There was a lot of that going on. Yeah. The interaction with new people showing up to help the movement, you know, shit like that.
Fight the power.
I thought it was a very good movie. It's really well made. The acting's great.
Tim Roth plays a really good
douchebag, racist asshole. He's a racist douchebag asshole. George Wallace. I thought Tom Wilkinson was a decent LBJ.
I
could use more Texas swagger. Surprisingly, and talking about was how a better LBJ than
and,
Tom
yeah,
Wilkinson.
Exactly. And you're talking about how large his penis was. Because apparently LBJ liked to do that.
I'm going to use at least one Johnson reference.
No.
Slap it out there. But listen, Dr. King. You got one problem. I got an 8-inch dick, 9-inch yeah. dick, whatever. My bung hole. He said that a lot too. OBJ was a crazy guy.
He was.
He was a crazy dude. Yeah, it's like, so who's this movie for? This type of movie. It's very much about.
I mean, it's
about the obtaining of the black voting rights in the 50s, how much they had to go through.
I mean, all reality, the movie's for everyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has a
universal.
It has a. It does have
human
like,
rights.
I mean, it does have a specific voice. Mm-hmm. You know where this is coming from, and that might make it lean towards maybe a certain audience,
right?
But as the movie as a whole and the message that it, you know, is putting out there, mm-hmm. it's universal constructs, man.
Yeah. Yeah, just basic standing up for what you believe, quite literally,
yeah. right,
at times. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good movie. I say
it's fun. I enjoyed it.
I say it's good. It's definitely going to be nominated.
I think it should definitely be seen.
Definitely be seen.
Whether you like it or not, that's up to you, but
it's going
to
be a Best Picture nominee. It's worth seeing, for sure. It's well made enough. It's worth seeing. David Oyelowo. I mean, at this point,
he was good.
Who is better in a movie than he was? Really good.
He was fantastic.
He ended up being more than just like an image or like just a symbol. He was actually like a living, breathing. It's kind of like Daniel Day-Lewis with Lincoln.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, this is what Lincoln would have been like if he was,
yeah, same thing.
It's actually kind of a Lincoln type. You know? Yeah. I think it's good stuff. I think it's good. Let's see here. David Oyelowo, he was most recently in Interstellar.
Yes, he was.
He had that one scene
mm-hmm.
where he was the principal and was like, we don't need engineers. I don't know why he had that stupid accent there. But where's my thing? Here we go. Rotten Tomatoes, Selma. Well, I guess bad form, probably, to hate on Selma. Out of 134 reviews, 132 of them are positive.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's
so
like,
that puts at 99%.
It's like trying to hate on 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah, I mean, they're well made enough, and then the topic
the topic is just too fucking real. You know, I mean, it's not that you can deny any of the movie. You know, this is it's almost a documentary. I mean, they take artistic license, obviously,
for sure.
But I mean, it's the telling of a true story.
8.7 out of 10, the average rating. Consensus. Fueled by a gripping performance from David Oyelowo, Selma draws inspiration and dramatic power from the life and death of MLK Jr., but doesn't ignore how far we remain from the ideals his work embodied.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what we said.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah. So, yeah, Selma, go see it, people.
Coming at number one this week.
Number one.
Taken Trois. Had a weekend gross of 40.4 million. Same as the total. Budget of 48. So it made almost all of its money back the first weekend. Good job, Liam Neeson.
Very good.
Old man kicking ass.
That's why they made him. So the first Taken came out, and people loved it.
It was good?
I thought it was okay. I thought if it was made with Steven Seagal, it would have been direct-to-video.
Yeah, but it was with Liam Neeson.
Even if it was made with Jason Statham, it would have been direct-to-video.
Yeah, but it was with the Liam Neesons.
It was with the Liam Neesons. And people are like, oh, this is good.
Yeah, because it's Neeson's. That was back when the Neeson's was super hot. You know, That was the beginning.
You know,
all this
that was the start
nonsense.
Of it. That was like the start of, here we go, yeah.
Of the Neeson's.
In the midst of all that, he did Taken 2.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people were like, meh. Yeah. And I was like, this movie is barely better or worse than the first Taken. It's a little more self-right.
But they did a lot of ripping off movies and B soundtracks.
Yeah, they ripped off Drive a lot, which is really weird. Very awkward how they did it. Very specific ways that they... So, now with the third one, it seems that people are really shitting on it for the most part. Which is kind of ridiculous, because...
It's probably still just as good as the first one or the second one.
I would put it, like, between them. I would say maybe it's not as good as the first one, but it's better than the second one. But
Did you see the Taken Trois?
I saw the Taken Trois.
I did not.
I went and saw Taken Trois, because I knew it would be the number one movie. Plus, I saw the first two, so I gotta finish this.
Well, I'm gonna catch it on Redbox, definitely.
It's definitely a Redbox catching type movie, for sure. But you know what it is? You know what Taken 3 is?
Huh.
It's, like low rent, low budget, The Fugitive.
Really?
Is what it is, because no one gets taken.
Yes.
They're trying to take Liam.
Okay, so they're failing at the Takening.
The Takening never even really happened. Spoiler alert.
Taken Trois, failed Takening.
What's
going
to happen in this movie? The movie's towards the beginning. First off, the first 15 minutes of the movie is like just character drama between him and his ex-wife
and his daughter.
And his daughter. And
ex-wife now.
Yeah, she's ex-wife. She's living with some dude played by Doug Ray Scott. And
a bit Liam Neeson wants to kick his ass.
And it's weird.
Femke Jensen's pretty hot.
They spend the first 15 minutes like setting up the relationship and the dynamics between all of them.
And then she dies.
And then I thought, right before she dies, before they kill her and set it up that he, you know, tried to frame him for her murder, I was thinking, man, it would be hysterical if Taken 3 wasn't an action movie at all. The only way they got Liam Neeson to do it was, we'll just make this a straight relationship drama. It's like, this would be, I would go with this. I would do it. But then, like, immediately after I thought that, she's dead. The cops show up. And he's like, I didn't do this. And then he's on the run. So the whole movie, he's on the run.
Fugitive.
He's the fugitive.
It wasn't me. It was a one-armed man.
It wasn't me. It was someone else.
Who played Tommy Lee Jones? It was Forrest Whitaker, right? Forrest Whitaker plays Tommy Lee Jones?
Ghost Dog is Tommy Lee Jones. But he's like, he's supposedly a brilliant detective type thing. But he doesn't do anything that's all that brilliant. He never does. He's supposed to be like super observant, like a Sherlock Holmes type. And it's just, this script is just too stupid to provide him with anything like that, you know? So he observes a couple of things, and then for some reason he has this OCD thing where he fiddles with a chess piece, like a knight. So I guess he's a knight.
Okay.
And he's
or is he a pawn?
No, he's a knight. Because he had a pawn, he'd be filled with a pawn. And he's always, if he's not playing with that, he's wrapping a rubber band around his hand over and over. I think he's supposed to be like...
autistic?
Not autistic, but like a quirky, maybe OCD-ish detective. Brilliant detective type thing. And they just... The script fails him. It's not Forrest Whitaker's fault. He's great. He's Forrest Whitaker. It's like Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson's great. Yeah, it's got the wonky eye. One eye that doesn't want to open. Like, the other one's like really intense.
Yeah.
But if you look at the other side of face, you look sleepy.
Dude, you have a stroke?
Are you okay, buddy?
Did you have a stroke, homie?
Bell's palsy over here? Yeah, it's like, it's okay. I kind of appreciated that it wasn't, no one got took. That was like it. They went for another. They went another.
They tried
direction.
The Takening and it did not succeed. It was a bad Takening.
You know who's in it? The dad from The Guest.
Oh really?
Guy? He's like one of his buddies. Yeah. On his like ex ops team or whatever.
Okay.
There's someone else. Hey, what's this over here? We got a guest. It's Taken 3. I mean, just red box it. HBO. Who gives a shit?
Take
a talk. 12% on Rotten Tomatoes. Average rating 3.4 out of 10. See, I think that's way too low. It's like a 5 out of 10 type movie, you know? Mm-hmm. You know what the biggest problem with The Taken is? The action. It's that postmodern action where the camera is all really shaky and then it's edited really fast. Yeah. And so it's like, what's the point? That's why it should have just been a relationship drama. At least that stuff was shot nice. Hampered by toothless PG-13 action sequences, incoherent direction, and a hackneyed plot, Taken 3 serves as a clear signal that it's well past time to retire this franchise. It does have that PG-13 violence thing where people get mowed down with guns.
And there's no blood or anything.
There's nothing happening. There's no consequence to it, which is shitty. But anyway, so what? It's a Taken movie. Who gives a fuck? It's a Taken movie. Coming out on DVD this week, we have Men, Women, and Children. We're all interconnected digitally.
But we're not.
But we're not connected anymore.
We're not connected at all.
Sex crimes.
Because my wife's texting some dude that she's trying to bang while I'm texting some chick I'm trying to bang.
While my kids
are getting cyberbullied and trying to bang each other.
And they're sexting their pictures of their genitals.
Mm-hmm.
A Walk Among the Tombstones, speaking of that Liam Neeson.
Oh, the Liam Neeson, and speaking of the Dan Stevens.
And speaking of, that's right, Dan Stevens is in that one with dark hair and crazy eyes.
Mm-hmm. He's still got those eyes, you're so blue, Chris.
He's like, I'm not a drug dealer, okay, I'm a drug dealer.
And I swear I'm from Boston.
Yeah, no. Gone Girl.
Oh, yeah.
Gone Girl, so now people can...
And if you want to see that NPH get his throat slit.
Hey, spoiler alert. I guess it's already come out on DVD. It's too late now, guys. Yeah. You had your chance. Mm-hmm. It made a plenty of money. I don't know why I want to tally on that one. So there you go. Movies come out on DVD this week. What's coming out in theaters, sir?
Coming out in theaters this weekend, the new Bradley Cooper American Sniper movie.
American Sniper. Coming out in New York and L.A., Chicago for a little while.
The first trailer I saw for it was kind of weird. You know, it's him trying to make a choice on if he wants to shoot a child and a woman
who has
an RPG.
They obviously have a weapon.
And then the second trailer is just like action nonsense. It's like, I'm on the phone with my wife, and now I'm getting ambushed by people.
Second trailer's pretty intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a
I'm looking forward to
pretty
it.
Pretty crazy-looking movie.
Also coming up this weekend, Paddington, the bear that talks.
Colin Firth was supposed to be the voice of Paddington, and then he dropped out. He was like, I can't identify with this stuffed animal. And they had to get someone else to do it.
And so he went off and did an action movie instead?
I think he already did the action movie.
Oh, okay. Also coming out, Thor Hacker, a.k.a. Black Hat.
CrossFit Hacker.
Yes, the CrossFit Hacker.
Yeah.
Thor the CrossFit Hacker.
Because he's super fit and does push-ups against the wall, but he's also super smart and hacks, like, totally hacks stuff, bro.
Yes, because he's a bro hacker.
He's a bro hacker. Hacker bro. There you go. That's the name. Black Hat, the new Michael Mann movie. I'm only going to see it because it's a Michael Mann movie at this point.
Also coming out this weekend, The Wedding Ringer.
Ooh, boy. I haven't seen that
trailer. Kevin Hart.
I haven't seen. That's going to make a bunch of money.
Yeah, it
probably
is.
Probably going to be the number one movie next weekend.
I'm looking forward to it on DVD. I'm not going to lie.
I'll see it on HBO or on Redbox or something.
No, exactly. Once it comes out on the Redbox, I'll spend my $1.30 and laugh.
Yeah.
Also coming out.
Mm-hmm. And that's worth it.
I mean,
bunch of crap.
I don't know what the Phoenix Project is.
Bullshit.
I don't know what Son of a Gun is.
Bullshit.
Still Alice.
What?
Vice.
Crap.
Appropriate Behavior.
Stupid.
All right. Well, there we go.
All right. There we go.
That's everything.
So there you go. Black Hat, Paddington, Wedding Ringer, American Snipper. That's pretty much all I need to know. All right. Well, let's take a break here. I'm pretty much done with my beer. I need to grab another one, and then we'll come back with the second half of the show. Got a bunch of just had a stroke. I just stroked that there a little bit. Drew, I need you to take me to the hospital.
Not gonna happen, dude.
We'll be back after Drew takes me to the hospital. In the meantime, here's a couple of songs from the guest soundtrack.
Boom, 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 boom. Oh, that's the Drive soundtrack.
So, yeah, but it's close enough. It's all electronic. Maybe a little sad girl poppy here and there.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
definitely.
Stuff like that. A couple of songs. I got one called Der Mussolini, which I think they only use like 30 seconds of it
before.
But still, it's pretty good 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. So just listen to the rest of the fucking song. And Vengeance by a group or person or thing called Perturbator. Perturbator.
Perturbator, yes.
Perturbator.
Have you
know Perturbator?
Well, because I was looking up the guest soundtrack as well weeks ago.
Oh, excuse me.
And the Perturbators, the album covers for his albums, they're all fucking insane.
I think I noticed that. looking for...
They're really weird.
Yeah, Perturbator. It's an interesting name, too.
Yeah.
All right, well, there you go. Those are the two songs we'll be listening to. We'll be back with the second half of the show. Got a bunch to do, so here we go.
Yeah. What's up? It's your boy Stone the Terrible.
It's your boy, the Black David Hasselhoff from Forget That Yo Radio. You are now listening to Cinema Crespo Diso,
the number one show for movie reviews. Now back to the show.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Thank you, Kevin. We appreciate it. Drive safely, sir. See you soon. Hopefully record another episode of SBK Live any day now. It's actually going to start happening again, I swear.
Sure it is.
Welcome back to episode, while I adjust my mic stand, 105 of Cinema Crespo. I am still Christopher Crespo, hanging out with Drewster Cogburn. Polite applause.
I'll take it.
Sometimes it feels better than the wild cheering. It's more respectful.
Or the Nazis.
We got them. They're here. It's labeled supporters.
They're Nazis.
But we know what they're supporting.
They're supporting Hitler.
We know what those motherfuckers are supporting. Welcome back to the show. Let's get them plugs out the way. ChrisCrespo.com. Go there for reviews. We got a review there of Inherent Vice as well as Taken 3.
Maybe that's what we should. Maybe that's what Tom should call his wife's beer instead of Vice Baby.
Inherent Vice?
Inherent Vice.
Ooh. He's pretty married to Vice Baby. I know he is. He likes that Vice Baby, which is a delicious beer.
That'll be my Vice beer if I ever make beer. Inherent Vice.
Inherent Vice. I like it.
So do I.
We'll cut that part out of the podcast so no one steals that wonderful idea. Good idea. Check out episode 104 from last week. Tom the Beer Guy was on. We had a great time. He had stories about John Ritter working on Parenthood,
yes.
Parenthood 2.
Parenthood Dose.
That's the movie. We're making a movie called Parenthood, in which it's what if a pair of deadheads on a Jerry Garcia Grateful Dead tour circa 89, they met up in Chicago, traveled half the country together following the Grateful Dead, fell in love, got married, had kids. They become parentheads. They're deadheads, but they're parentheads.
Nice.
Right. Kind of a long way around to get back to that one. Episode 104, sponsored by OBP. Check it out. Good stuff. Jerry, where can people find you on the interwebs, on the lines?
At Antihero419 on Twitter, Instagram.
Hello.
Hello. Not that I use it.
No, I don't.
Snapchat.
Get on that Snapchat, because he's on it. I'm not on it.
And here we go.
Drew's on it. Hit up the show on Twitter at Crespediso, Facebook.com/CinemaCrespediso, Instagram.com/CinemaCrespediso, etc. Let's see. What do you want to start with? You know, we went to, when we saw Selma, we saw it at the Cinemark. I don't even know what they call that theater over there. The Cinemark at Artagon Marketplace. It used to be the Festival Bay.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's the Artagon. My second time there. I think it was your first time there, Drew?
Yes, my first time.
So what do you want to tell people about the theater? Let's give them a theater review.
I mean, it was nice.
Pretty nice theater.
The hallways were a little cramped, like walking to the theaters.
Yeah, sure.
I like the wider hallways, you know, like the Winter Park Village.
Yeah. It is a little narrower.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of interesting. But big screens, though, in each theater.
Screens are big, and the seats are... Upon first inspection, I thought they would be softer. And then I sat down, and they weren't as soft as my eyes thought they would be.
Big leather seats. A little rough.
Yeah.
For being big leather seats.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good sound in there. Good picture.
Yeah.
$6 for the matinee.
Mm-hmm.
Can't beat that, really. I liked it. I thought it was a good theater. It is a Cinemark. I don't know what that means. They refuse to show the interview. So fuck those guys. But still, we went there.
Yeah, seriously.
All right, so there you go. Movie theater review. Let's, let's check out that Billy D's Death of the Movies. You got a...
Yes, sir. Yes, I do.
Let's see what we've got going on over here. Just got to wait for that. Give that a second. Because now it's being like...
Feeling good shit. And it will be better than the last time.
Always is.
So, Billy D's Death at the Movies for Sunday, January 11th, 2015. Hi, everyone. You might not know this, but Death at the Movies is sometimes... sometimes a team effort. My girlfriend digs through pages of crap on the internet for movies to watch and share. This week, she produced an import copy of Zombievers from her secret stash.
Oh, snap, Zombievers.
Why this movie hasn't been released in the States is beyond me. It's hilarious, gory, dumb as hell, and most of all, fun. The setup is same as Return of the Living Dead. Suspicious canister spills from back of truck, rolls into stream,
so annoying,
and springs a leak.
Dope.
Instead of a cemetery, it leaks on a beaver dam, creating the titular Zombievers. Insert college kids, alcohol, boobs, booty shorts, and the most insane game of whack-a-mole ever, and you've got yourself a movie. Keep your eyes peeled for this soon, and won't be long before someone picks it up. Stay cool, Billy D.
Billy D! Zombievers.
Zombievers.
Sounds weird.
It does. It sounds like exactly what he said. You know, it's a cheesy horror movie with lots of tits and ass.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Time to put up with all these Zombievers. I mean, so it's a horror movie centered around beavers.
Yes, zombie beavers.
But they're zombie beavers.
Yes, they're Zombievers.
Would that mean then they would try to be eating each other?
No. They crave human brains.
They crave so even though they're zombie beavers, they crave human brains.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
And they'll chew through all the wood they can to get to it.
Just making sure we're on the same page here is all.
Maybe they want to make dams out of our brains.
There you go.
Maybe they don't want to eat our brains. Maybe they just want to make dams out of them.
How come we didn't make Zombievers?
Because we didn't get high enough. I mean, not for lack of trying, but we didn't get there.
Let's see here. Why don't we go into some listener questions / movie reviews and stuff. What do you got over there, Drew?
All right. Coming from JHigh87 on Twitter.
What's up, JHigh? J-Rod.
Great actors in bad roles / movies. Thought of this yesterday watching Michael Caine in Jaws Revenge.
Oh, man. He asked us a question and then takes the best answer right off the top.
No. Even better answer.
What do you got?
Michael Caine and Dr. Cox from Scrubs in what's Steven Seagal movie? Which one is it?
Oh, On Deadly Ground.
On Deadly Ground. They're both in it. Michael Caine's the bad guy.
Yeah, Michael Caine is the bad guy.
Him and Dr. Cox from Scrubs.
That movie's better than Jaws 4 to Revenge. Jaws 4 to Revenge is
just barely.
No, much better. It's much
just
no,
barely.
No.
Chris,
I'm telling you, Jaws 4 to Revenge.
His monologue.
No. See, you're
it's
not
awful.
No, but you're not even thinking about how bad Jaws 4 is.
I know how bad it is.
No, I don't think you do.
I do.
I don't think you do.
I do know how bad it is.
Not really. Might have to watch these movies back to back to show you.
I mean, Jaws.
Like, we're gonna have to watch Jaws 4.
It's worse.
And then watch On Deadly Ground. Like, oh my god, awful. This is a much, much better movie compared to Jaws 4.
They're both awful movies.
I mean,
you can't talk about Steven Seagal unbiasedly.
I can talk about Steven Seagal.
Not unbiasedly, you can't.
Oh, why do I have to be unbiased about it? I'm a Seagalologist.
Exactly. You have a propensity towards him.
I have a propensity to understand what's... I'm talking about on a film technical level. It's astounding how poorly made Jaws 4 is. It's just so poorly made. On Deadly Ground has a voice and a vision. There's plenty of Seagal movies. There's Seagal movies you can point to that say that are as bad as Jaws 4. There are tons of them. Tons of them. On Deadly Ground's not the
not
one.
One of, you not one
the
of
wrong,
them.
You picked the wrong fight there, buddy.
All right.
Picked the wrong one. But Michael Caine isn't that.
He is.
With jet black hair.
Yep.
And it's so
it
bad.
It looks so silly.
It's so stupid. and so is Dr. Cox.
Yeah.
And so is... there's a couple other people in that fucking stupid movie. But I like it, though.
All right, let's see other horrible movies with good people in them.
I had one too, but then I went off on that little tangent, and then I forgot it. Gene Hackman in Behind Enemy Lines.
Ooh,
great actor. Oh no, Gene Hackman in Welcome to Mooseport.
Oh,
there you go. He went out on that movie. Sean Connery in The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah, that. Oh god, that movie was so bad.
Ooh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
That was real. Oh, Raul Julia. In
Street Fighter.
Street Fighter.
He died.
It killed his career.
They gave him to Raul Vaya con Dios at the end.
So bad.
So insulting.
And it's really sad that was the last movie he makes. That's all he'll be remembered for.
Isn't that a mega bummer?
Yeah.
That's a lot like the last thing Orson Welles did was he was the voice of a planet-eating planet or something in Transformers.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Yeah. Poor guy.
Hey, actors gotta be eating. They gotta work. They can't turn everything down. They can't all be Daniel Day-Lewis's.
No.
Right? They gotta eat.
They do.
So you end up with half of Nick Cage's career.
All right. Coming in from Tom Lucas on Facebook.
What's up, Tom?
Yes, Boyhood. Amazing achievement, boring misfire, or both? I have not seen Boyhood, so I cannot tell you.
Yeah, I think we need to see Boyhood.
All right.
We need to see it. It's got a lot of critics' best film awards and stuff. Looking like it's a strong contender for Best Picture at the Oscars coming up in February.
No.
So we're going to have to... Just come out on DVD.
We'll have to check it out.
I have to red box that shit.
All right. Coming in from Nathan Smith on Facebook.
What's up, Nate? Nathan. Going on the Nathan.
Too much to tweet, but this is for the Crespo Dome.
Oh, here we go.
While reading Stephen King like I do every weekend, I started pondering, with Warner Brothers making 3 movies for The Stand, do you think they'd be smart to pick up Ron Howard's idea for The Dark Tower? Yes, it's already super ambitious with multiple movies and TV seasons planned, but...
Oh, boy. Oh, shit. Awkward timing. Juicy Cogburn interrupted what we're doing. Juicy Cogburn.
I guess I have to take on the world real quick, Nathan.
Finish the question.
All right.
And then we'll come back to it.
So, would it be smart to pick up Ron Howard's idea for The Dark Tower? Yes, it's already super ambitious and multiple movies and TV seasons planned, but with Randall Flagg being the protagonist in both, Warner Brothers would be stupid not to. They could create their own shared universe of King stories, including the multiple other novels and novellas that connect to the world of The Dark Tower. Do you think this is a good idea? May the power of Ka be with you.
Ka? The Ka-Tet. It's all about the Ka-Tet, bro.
You say so?
I'll explain that after Drusa Cogman vs. The World. We'll talk about some of that Stephen King stuff there. The highest grossing movies of 2014, Drew.
Okay.
I got them here.
Uh-huh.
The top 50 grossing movies of the year at the U.S. box office.
Gotcha.
I'm going to give you 2 of them. You tell me which one made more money.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. For example, which made more at the box office this year? Divergent or Neighbors?
I want it to be Neighbors, but I'm pretty sure it was Divergent.
Neighbors made $150 million, coming in at number 19 for the year. Divergent made $150.9 million, coming at number 18. That is correct.
Well, I mean, it warranted a sequel, so it must have made some money.
It did make some money, right? And I've watched it in bits and pieces on HBO for the last couple of weeks, and mm-hmm. that movie makes not a lick of sense.
Awesome.
Which made more in 2014? Big Hero? No, that's still playing. Godzilla or The Amazing Spider-Man 2?
God, I hope it's Godzilla.
God, that's your answer?
Yeah.
Godzilla made $200 million. Amazing Spider-Man 2, $202 million. Coming in at number 10 and 11, respectively. Which made more this year? Ride Along or Lucy?
Lucy
made $126.5 million. Ride Along, $134 million. Ride Along, number 20 movie of the year. Which made more money in 2014, Drew? Was it Edge of Tomorrow or The Equalizer?
The Equalizer.
The Equalizer made $100.9 million. Edge of Tomorrow, $100.2 million. That is correct. Good job there. Number 30 and 31 movies of the year. How about this? Which made more in 2014? Penguins of Madagascar or Let's Be Cops?
Not Let's Be Cops.
Penguins of Madagascar made $73 million. Let's Be Cops, $82 million.
Wow.
Which made more money in 2014? The Lego Movie or Transformers Age of Extinction?
Transformers
made $245 million at the U.S. box office. Lego Movie, $257 million.
Oh, good. Lord Miller beat out freaking Transformers.
Lord.
Thank the Lord Miller.
Thank the Lord Miller. Which made more in 2014, Drew? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Interstellar?
Interstellar.
Interstellar made $178 million. TMNT made $191 million.
No, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. TMNT is a different movie, and it was by far the best Turtles movie ever made.
That is correct. Actually, that's factually correct. You were right there on that one. My apologies. Which made more in 2014? Frozen or Mr. Peabody and Sherman?
Frozen. Frozen made so much goddamn money, Chris.
Frozen made $123 million. Mr. Peabody and Sherman, $111 million. That is correct. How about 300, Rise of an Empire, or Rio 2?
Choke Sex.
Choke Sex made $106 million. Rio 2, $131 million. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Here we go, last one. You ready? Which made more in 2014 at the U.S. box office? Guardians of the Galaxy or The Hunger Games, Mockingjay, Parts 1?
Hunger Games.
The Hunger Games made $316 million as of today. Guardians of the Galaxy, $332 million. Number one grossing movie of the year, Guardians of the Galaxy. You got 1, 2, 3.
Oh, boy.
Sorry about that. I'm sorry, sir.
So, Chris,
deliver these results to you.
Dark Tower series.
According to this aptitude test of the year's financials.
I failed. Horribly.
Don't worry, it's the test is inherently racist.
It is. Against white people?
Yeah. Well, you know. It's like white like me, that type of thing, you know.
Okay.
Some people just aren't white like you.
You're not white, Chris.
That's why I said white like you. As opposed to hit the wrong one, meant to hit a different one, and it's not there. That's more deserving. Much more deserving.
So, Chris, Dark Tower series. I don't know shit about it.
The Dark Tower series is Stephen King's version of... It's the mixture of the Man with No Name, Clint Eastwood Western series with the Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
You know, so it's like... it's a Western, but it's fantasy.
Western fantasy.
There's parallel universes and dimensions and people being drawn into other universes. It's a pretty crazy... story, a lot going on, spans 7 books. Ron Howard's plan was to make books 1, 2, and 3 into movies, and then books 4, 5, 6, and 7 would be done as a TV series.
Okay.
Cross-media
yeah.
to tell the story, which is pretty interesting. They had Javier Bardem to play the lead. Roland Deschain is, I'm pretty sure, the guy's name.
Okay.
He's pretty much Clint Eastwood.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And it's pretty crazy. It's also kind of like got a little Star Wars thing going for it. Imagine if, like, you know, instead of samurais or Jedis, instead of Jedi samurai, it's Jedi gunslinger.
Mm-hmm.
They're gunslingers. They call them gunslingers.
Okay.
I think it would be worth... I mean, I think it'll be a crazy story to tell. There's like a giant cybernetic bear at one point, and Blaine D'Amano is this crazy train that tells you puzzles, and if you can't stump it, or no, you gotta tell it puzzles, riddles. If you can't stump it, it'll kill you or something. And it's all like part of the world where things are just falling apart, and even time is falling apart. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's worth. I say do it. I say make it. I say it's good stuff. I like Stephen King. I've read a lot of Stephen King. You weren't a Stephen King guy, Drew?
No, not really.
Pet Sematary?
Nope.
Cujo?
Nope.
The Shining? Dark Half?
Nope.
Desperation?
Nope. Told you, man, I really wasn't...
Under the Dome?
Yeah, no.
Bag of Bones?
Nope. Yeah, no.
I'm trying to think of more. all right. Well, let's see. What's going on? What else do the people got to say?
Coming in from Caleb Twombly on Facebook.
What's up, Caleb?
Someone asked me what I thought of Kevin Smith's new flick, Tusk.
Tusk.
I ended up writing a mini movie review. Enjoy.
All right, here we go.
It's definitely weird. Really weird. But there's something about it that I love. I might be biased because Kevin Smith is my man crush, but it's so unique and self-aware that it ends up making the weirdness okay. With the exception of a couple dick jokes thrown in, it is unlike anything Smith has ever done, even Red State. If you watch it, be prepared for a lot of talking, typical Kevin Smith fashion, and keep an open mind overall. The dialogue both lost me at times and was the creepy saving grace of the flick as well. I'd also recommend listening to the Smodcast number 288, The Walrus and the Carpenter, that the movie was spawned from before watching the movie, because one of the most enjoyable parts, at least to me as a filmmaker, was the journey that the making of the movie actually had. I liked it, but I definitely know it's not going to be everyone's cup of tea. Hehe, you'll get that joke if you watch the movie. Cinema Crespodiso might be too long, but thought you guys might want to use it for the show, and everyone else should check out their movie podcast. It's the bees of knees, as the kids say nowadays.
That movie's on DVD now. Tusk.
Tusk.
Talked about it on the show before, reviewed it. That's a good review, Caleb. Thanks, appreciate it. I think you should. I think he'd be worth checking out for you, Drew.
Yeah, I mean,
I think you get a kick out of it. It gets pretty wild. Gets pretty crazy. Don't ever drink any tea that Michael Parks gives you. That should be, I mean, anyone as creepy as Michael Parks, that dude's creepy in everything he does.
Yeah, pretty much.
Whether it's Twin Peaks or Kill Bill Volume 2, this guy is just off the deep end with the weirdness.
Mm-hmm.
Rage Against Twit hit us up on Twitter. Saw the Voices trailer. It looks strangely funny. Do you respect movies with talking animals? Interesting question, Drew. Do you respect movies with talking animals?
I mean, sometimes.
Name one movie you respect with a talking animal.
Neverending Story.
Fair enough. There you go.
There you go. Huh?
Take that. I guess, well, there are movies that have talking animals in them.
Fievel.
You went west. But isn't that a cartoon? Cartoons count?
Rango.
What? Again, that's a cartoon. Cartoons count? I'm thinking more of a talking animal, like a Dr. Doolittle type situation.
A Boy and His Dog.
The dog talks in that?
Like a motherfucker.
How about, what's fun with the a horse and Bobcat Goldthwait? Hot to Trot.
If you say so.
You haven't seen that? You haven't seen Hot to Trot?
Nope.
Never saw Hot to Trot?
Nope.
You should get on that, yo. You know what they're doing with that Game of Thrones?
What?
They're putting it on the IMAX.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they are. What they're doing is HBO announced a Game of Thrones IMAX release for later in the month of January. They will consist of the last two episodes of Season 4, which is the Watchers on the Wall episode, the crazy battle with the giants and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then there will be a exclusive first trailer for Season 5. While not originally shot in IMAX, episodes will be digitally remastered for the format. It will run in 150 theaters across the U.S. for 1 week, starting January 23rd. So,
sounds kind of lame.
You wouldn't do it?
If it was something new, yes. But it's something I've already seen just on the big screen, don't give a fuck.
On a giant screen. No, not interested at all? Even with the new trailer?
Nope.
Images of the new...
I could catch it online the day after.
Take that, interweb spoilers. Michael Keaton. Gonna be in a blockbuster looks like pretty soon. But you'll never guess which one. It's a prequel.
Okay.
About a giant monster monkey ape thing. The King Kong prequel. Skull Island. What they're calling Kong : Skull Island. They already got Tom Hiddleston, the guy who was Loki in the Avengers movies. And J.K. Simmons from, you know, Spider-Man movies. As well as Whiplash. Michael Keaton from the Batman movies. Will also be in this. So pretty much you're just getting a bunch of comic book actors to do a movie about the island where King Kong's from with another giant dinosaurs. I can't get any excitement or interest at all for a King Kong prequel. Know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, nobody cares. I sure as hell don't care. I mean, it could even be awesome. I just don't care.
Even if it's awesome, you wouldn't care?
I mean, I'll have to be told that it's awesome before I care enough to see it.
Gotcha. Some people might be interested in this. The rating came out for 50 Shades of Grey.
PG-13.
Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? We couldn't show you anything, so we just went PG-13. Straight R. Not even having to cut down from NC-17. They just went straight for the R rating, which for some people that could be disappointing, you know, like perverts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
MPAA's official explanation, you know, when on the green box, gives it a little blurb. Says strong sexual content, including dialogue,
mm-hmm.
some unusual behavior,
S&M,
and graphic nudity.
Well, of course.
So unusual behavior.
Some things are stuck in places they shouldn't be stuck in.
Now, right. Now for your lady listeners, the guy who's playing the main dude, this Christian Grey fellow, what's his name? I'm looking for the actor's name here.
Mr. Bland White Guy?
Jamie Dornan, Mr. Bland White Guy. I don't know why they didn't just get Dan Stevens.
Seriously, right? With those blue eyes.
With those blue eyes. I think it should be gray eyes.
Yeah, whatever.
Digital for that. He said, he confirmed he does not go full frontal. So, sorry, ladies.
Sorry, ladies. You won't see bland white penis.
Bland. You know what to do if you want to see it. Just Snapchat Drew. Who will be all the time. Fargo, season 2. It's a prequel to the first season of Fargo, right? So so that Fargo season was its own contained story.
Yes.
And now they're going back like 20, 30 years. And this story is going to focus on the Carradine, the father guy who's just running the cafe,
mm-hmm.
the ex-cop.
Yeah.
When he was younger, when he was a cop.
Okay.
Patrick Wilson is going to play that guy.
Oh, the dude from Watchmen.
Little Children.
And Little Children, and some other stuff.
Some other stuff, yeah. He's one of those guys. He's in a bunch of stuff. Also going to be on the show, Ted Danson.
Oh, nice.
Yep. Nick Offerman.
Okay.
Brad Garrett, the big dude from Arrows. Yeah, talks like this.
Mm-hmm.
Kieran Culkin.
Okay.
So we got a Culkin in there.
Yeah.
We got a Culkin sighting. Bokeem Woodbine.
Sure.
You don't know Bokeem Woodbine? You know Bokeem Woodbine.
I probably do.
If you see a picture, you'll be like, Bokeem.
Okay.
I know Bokeem. And I don't know who the other guys are. Let's see. Nick Offerman is going to be the town lawyer for Luverne, Minnesota. He's a Korean War vet, flowery, drunk, blessed with the gift of gab, and the eloquence of a true con artist. Brad Garrett is Joe Bulo, a frontman for a new crime syndicate in Kansas City. And this other guy is... some dude. Kieran Culkin is a guy. So there you go. I'm looking forward to Fargo season 2. Should be pretty good. This movie, I don't know if I'm really looking forward to it. I'm kind of interested in seeing where to go next. I'm going to check it out. But we have a release date for The Purge 3.
Ooh.
So the first Purge came out in 2013, and then the last one was in 2014. The next one, 2016. So they're not going to rush them out to do one every year like they did with the Saw movies.
Or
they're trying with the Paranormal Activity movies for a while there. Let's see what we say. July 1st, 2016 is the release date for The Purge 3, which puts it up against Tarzan from Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And the BFG from Steven Spielberg and Disney, which is their adaptation of the book The BFG, The Big Friendly Giant, not The Big Fucking Gun. At first, I thought it was a movie about a big fucking gun.
Yeah.
Then I realized it was not. Purge 2 was, I like The Purge 2. I thought it was good. I think it was great. It's not like Dread where I'm telling people you gotta go see Dread, you know, or you gotta see The Guest. It's not one of those things, but. I did not like it. I thought it had some cool things about it. If it's on TV, I'd probably stop and watch it. See moments of it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Lego Batman movie will answer the question, can Batman be happy?
Sweet.
Can Batman be happy, Drew?
No. Can't be. He's Batman. He's not allowed to be happy. That's his superpower. His superpower is unhappiness.
The team of Lord Miller said recently, quote, Batman is the ultimate in white people problems.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they said.
Okay.
That's what they said. Lord, explain their amazing premise for this movie. I think the movie is really exciting because it's about, can Batman be happy? He's the ultimate in white people problems. He's like, oh, I'm so rich and handsome. Women like me and I've got a McLaren. Something about my parents.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Batman's got white people problems, yeah.
He does. WPP. Hashtag WPP.
Hashtag Batman WPP. Hashtag Chris Bediso Batman WPP. Hashtag.
That's a really long hashtag.
That's a long hashtag. Should we bring back the Hooper Wiffle? Hooper Wiffles are generally longer.
Yes, they are.
Like full sentences. Sometimes whole novels.
Mm-hmm.
Hooper Wiffle, War and Peace.
Yes.
And then you gotta read it, War and Peace.
With no breaks. With no breaks or punctuation. Just
sit down and read it. You gotta sit there and write it and read. Read it and write it. Memorize it.
Write it and read it.
It's like pi. Except there is an end in sight.
R squared.
You just die before you get there. Pi squared?
Pi R squared.
Pi to the pi power.
Pi to the power of pi.
We get some Cracker Barrel. Get some Cracker Barrel.
I mean, it sounds like a good idea.
Get some. I can go for a chicken fried chicken with sawmill gravy on it.
And a set of mashed potatoes and dumplings.
See, now you're gonna get the triple potato special. Like, I want a baked potato.
I want all starch.
I want a baked potato, but can you garnish that with French fries and then put it on top of a pile of mashed potatoes? And then give me a side of grits. And also bring out them hot fresh biscuits while you're at it.
I want some dumplings. They're dumplings.
Granny's dumplings.
Sawmill gravy.
I say either we do that or we go to Longhorn. I want to get me some chicken tenders from Longhorn. Or
can we do something cheaper? I'm kind of poor.
Golden Corral.
Not going to Golden Corral.
It's cheaper than both of those.
I'm not going.
$10, you get way more food too. I'm not going. You can have all those meals combined at Golden Corral. If you have an idea where we should go eat, send us a tweet at Chris Bediso. Let us know.
Do it in the next 10 minutes because I'm kind of hungry.
So while you do that, we will get out of here. So thank you, Drew.
Thank you, sir.
Sir Cogburn.
For giving me the opportunity.
Oh, okay. Thank you for downloading and listening, people. We appreciate it. Make sure you tell everyone you know to check out the show. If you want some free stickers, we have two types of stickers, and they are free. We will send them to you. Just email us at cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com, and we'll ship them off to you. Got tons of people who enjoy them, loving them. Sticking them on stuff. That's what they're for.
They're being posted all over the country.
They're being posted all over the country.
All over the world, Chris.
Check out our Bahamas.
Our stickers have gone international.
And in Mexico. Just check out our Instagram feed, Cinema Crespo Diso, to see all the cool people doing all the cool things with our cool stickers. So there you go. Right? We're out of here?
Correct.
That's done?
Yes.
All right. Peace out, bunch of bitches. Should I end the show like that every time?
Peace out, you bunch of bitches.
How about I end it like that? Because I didn't stop recording yet. Check 1, 2. Hello, welcome to the show. Hello, check. Hello. Check 1, 2. Check.
Check, check. Chiggy check. Microphone check one.
That's it. That's all you got. That's all you got for the
Chiggy check. Microphone check two.
That's all you got for the checking.
Yep.
Can't give you a little bit. Can't give you anything different.
Nope.
Nothing more.
Nada.
Worst mic check ever.
Bleh. Don't care.
See, even that burp was something. At least that was audio.
Like I said, don't care.
Okay.